Today, as we celebrate this octave day of Christmas, we also recognize it is the celebration of the circumcision of our blessed Lord. On one hand, we might wonder why we would be celebrating such a thing, but we have to recognize that St. Luke, in those first couple of chapters of his gospel, goes out of his way to make sure that we recognize that Our Lady and St. Joseph were being obedient to everything in the law of God. Point after point after point is made. And in fact, even when we get to the 2nd of February and we celebrate the Feast of the Purification, the Presentation, at that point, three times in that one little passage, St. Luke points out that all these things were done in fulfillment of the dictates and the law of the Lord. So he's showing us that everything was done according to the way of the Lord. That's important because it didn't need to be done. Why was it necessary for him to be incorporated into the old covenant? He was part of the people of God, obviously, but he's God. He's the one with whom that covenant was made. Our Lady didn't need to be purified when we talk about that, because the birth was a supernatural birth, not a normal one. So there are all these different things that didn't need to be done on the natural level, but St. Luke is pointing to a supernatural level. And because of that supernatural level, all of these things needed to be done. You could make the argument, well, they didn't want to scandalize anybody, so they did what everybody else does. That's not the point. The point is what they were doing was something that was far greater. And that's the part that we have to look at. What is this greatness that is there? It's the covenant that God had made. And we even see it with regard to ourselves in the first reading. When we hear about the fact that the grace of God has appeared in the person of Jesus, so that is the birth of our blessed Lord. But it talks about how he has gained for himself this people, that he would redeem them from all iniquity and cleanse for himself an acceptable people pursuing good works. That's us. So all of these things that were done under the old covenant, what we heard on Sunday, remember that same point. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to free those who were under the law. So all of these things are done to free the people so that we can be who we were created to be. Even look a little bit further, because what we heard today is from the second chapter of Titus. But if we look, for instance, at just a few verses beyond, which would be in the third chapter of Titus, it talks about not only that the goodness and kindness of God our Savior has appeared, but then it talks about how he saved us through a bath of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So in other words, for us, it's the incorporation into the covenant through baptism. And in that baptism, what we recognize is we're incorporated into the person of Jesus Christ, into the fullness of who he is. And so as we heard a minute ago, that he redeemed us from our sins and he has purified us. That's what the circumcision is all about. The covenant is always made in blood. To the old covenant, there needed to be a shedding of blood. In the new covenant, there needed to be as well. And so our Lord shed his blood for us. And this feast actually looks forward in that way. This is the first shedding of the blood of our Lord in his life. And so as that circumcision takes place and the blood is shed, it looks forward to what's going to happen when he is on the cross, when his blood would be shed so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be purified. But it also points in this way to the reality of his humanity. Because we think back to the struggles that they had in the early church of the question of who is he? We can look at it today and say he is fully God and he is fully human, and we can explain to the degree that we can how all that works and what it looks like and all that. They didn't have all that understanding in the early church. And so some people tried to say, well, he wasn't really human, he just looked that way. He didn't take on a real human body, he took on a fake human body, it was just an appearance. Others tried to say he had a real human body but not a real human soul. All these kinds of things that were going on, these various heresies that the church had to reject. But already, the Holy Spirit had made it clear to us who he was. We just had to understand. And so it speaks of his humanity. And his humanity is obviously fully connected with his birth, and the birth with his conception. So his humanity, and this is the fascinating part, and I told you this a couple weeks ago, his humanity, of course, was received 100% from our Blessed Lady. Needless to say, that is not normal. But when they have done the various scientific investigations of Eucharistic miracles and the Shroud of Turin and different places where they've had the blood of our Lord, there is no Y chromosome. There is only X chromosomes. Not two of them, because that would make our Lord a woman, but only one, because the woman provides the X chromosome. The man would provide either the X or the Y, depending on whether the child would be a girl or a boy. In this case, our Lord didn't have a human father. He received his humanity 100% from his mother, and so he has only an X chromosome, which he received from his mother. The rest of his humanity was obviously provided by the Holy Spirit, and consequently, there wouldn't be a chromosome involved in that because it was spiritual. So, once again, things that we could only know today because of the scientific advances that have been made and what they can do and so on, to be able to demonstrate what the church has taught for 2,000 years. But it is the reality of our Lord's humanity that we are looking at here. The fact that God truly became one of us. The reason people had so much trouble with that is the same reason that the angels had trouble with it. Remember, that's why a third of the angels fell. They could not accept the truth that God would love us so much and that he would have so much humility that he would take on a human nature. And yet that's exactly what he did. It's not a question of whether God would be willing to do this. It's a question that we, in our own pride, have trouble accepting it, because we wouldn't do anything like that, because we don't have enough humility to do it. But God did. The other side of that is with everything that the devil has done and the various heresies that are there, we have trouble on the other side accepting our own human dignity. We think that we're worthless trash. We don't think that we're lovable. We don't think that we're acceptable. We have all these struggles with our own self. And so we look at that and say, well, if I can't even accept me, if I can't even believe the truth about myself, how could God do this? Because God is the truth. And if you want to know the truth of your humanity and your dignity, look at Jesus. He is fully human. He took your humanity to himself, not a different one, yours. The exact same humanity that you and I have. That's how much dignity your humanity has. You are not worthless trash. You are not garbage. You are not unlovable. You are not unacceptable. Those are lies from Satan. And our Lord wanted you to know that. And the way that he wants you to know that is he showed you by taking that to himself. To be able to show you that your dignity as a human person is so profound that God could take our humanity to himself and didn't see that as beneath his dignity as God. Satan couldn't handle that. And tragically, neither can lots of human persons. We can't believe that God would actually love us that much. Maybe that's what we need to start really facing. God does love you that much. God values your humanity and your dignity that much. And in that, he came into this world and was obedient to everything that God had required. Of course he's going to be. He's God. Of course he's going to do everything that he himself has required. But it also shows us that that dignity of ours is going to be recognized only when we are living according to the way of God. The dignity is there regardless of what we're doing. We can look at these poor souls that are out there getting themselves into every kind of tragic situation. And they have the exact same dignity that you and I do. And what's important for us to remember is that even if we have given ourselves over to all kinds of unfortunate things, even if horrible things have been done to us by other people, or even by our own self, that does not change or reduce our dignity at all. 100% of the dignity that God created you with is still there. So why don't we see it? Because we don't live it. Because we're not being obedient to the law of God. Somehow we think that obedience to God is beneath our dignity, which is a rather amazing thing, because on one hand, we don't accept our dignity, and on the other hand, we think that doing what God wants us to do is beneath our dignity, when in fact, if we would do what God wants us to do, we're going to be able to demonstrate our dignity. So as always, on the spiritual level, it is just exactly the opposite of what it would appear on the natural level. So it's a struggle that each one of us has to deal with in our lives. Because Satan pretty much controls the airwaves and the governments and all the things of the world, we are constantly being reminded that we do not have dignity. And we have to be able to say that's a lie because God said it. God has demonstrated your dignity over and over and over. And it is that same thing that I harp on again and again and again. Why? Why are we so willing to listen to Satan's lies and so unwilling to listen to God's truth? It makes no sense to me. God speaks and we ignore it. Satan speaks and we jump. Not jumping in fear, jumping in glee, and that's what we want to hear. Why? How about let's accept what God says? Because God speaks the truth and God speaks only in love. He loves you that much. Now you've got two options. You've got Jesus who says, here's the truth and here's how much I love you. And you have Satan saying, oh no, that's not possible. So you have two options. You can say, yep, this is the truth, or nope, that's not possible. How can we keep saying Satan's way? Let's accept God's truth. He has demonstrated that he is fully human. It is revealed he is fully God. And he's demonstrated that as well. St. Paul talks about the fact that the resurrection is what demonstrates his divinity more than anything else. And so he now has established a new covenant. And you are incorporated into that covenant. And so he has, as St. Paul said, purified and cleansed and redeemed a people for himself. And through the regeneration of baptism, we now share in the divine nature. Now we really have a struggle. We don't even accept and believe the dignity of our human nature. And now we're supposed to say, I have a share and a participation in the divine nature. I have been elevated to a divine level of acting and being. I who think that I'm worthless garbage. I who don't believe what God tells me about myself. Now he's telling me that I'm his own son or daughter. That I am a participant in the divine nature, that I participate in the divine life. How can we believe that if we can't even believe that we have dignity being made in the image and likeness of God? So he became one of us so that we could become one with him. He took on our human nature so that we would take on his divine nature. That's what we're looking at here. So this point of the circumcision, which many people would go, that's gross, and why are we celebrating that? It's because it tells us something about who we are. And it tells us about the importance of being obedient to the law of God. That was incorporation into the old covenant. You are incorporated into the new covenant. And you are incorporated because you have the freedom that our Lord has won for you, that you have been redeemed because of his humanity, because the humanity he took to himself was not only real, it is yours. If he took a different humanity, you're not redeemed. So you had to take your humanity. That's what this is about. And so we see that humanity, we see the shedding of human blood, we see human flesh, we have all these things that we can look at to be able to see that, yes, he was obedient to the will of God, but this is our humanity. And this is how we're saved. Because apart from that, we are not saved. If it wasn't a real human body or a real human soul, real human flesh and real human blood, if it was all just a facade or it was something else, then we aren't saved. We aren't redeemed. That's why this is so important. So it's the octave day of Christmas, which the octave means it's the most important of the days. It's the highest of the days. And so it helps us then to reflect back on the truth about our blessed Lord. And it helps us to look at our own self and the truth about ourselves. And as St. Paul told us in the first reading, also we are looking at the fact of our Lord appearing, but then we're looking forward to the blessed hope and glorious coming of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's where we're at in this. We're looking back to be able to look forward. We have hope because of who he is, and who he is says something about who we are, because it tells us of our dignity. It tells us of the love of God for each one of us individually. It tells us of the great call that God has given to each one of us, and his desire that if we are obedient to that call, that we are obedient to his holy will, that we will be able to really demonstrate the fullness of our dignity and accept that dignity so that we can spend eternity with him. That's what this is about. Not just an event that happened 2,000 years ago that seems kind of gross to us, but in fact it affects us intrinsically. Because without all of that, the new covenant building upon the old, fulfilling the old, all the other things that we could look at, it's about us, as everything that he did was and still is. So yes, they were obedient to the law of God. But it says something more about you and me and the dignity that we have and the love that God has for us. So he has redeemed us. He has cleansed us so that we would be a people, as St. Paul said, an acceptable people pursuing good works, striving to do the will of God, as we see that Our Lady and St. Joseph did, as of course Jesus did at every second of his life. And that's what he's asking of us, to be able to accept and live according to our dignity by being obedient to the will of God.